And let me pray. Father God, thank you so much that your Son, Jesus Christ, has words of everlasting life. Please would you help us to find that life as we listen to his words this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever experienced a scene like this. The words are, "We'll be round to fix the boiler sometime between 8 and 10 in the morning." Well, that was the promise. That was what was promised. And you reckoned it was worth staying at home for life without hot water's fairly rubbish, isn't it? And it's not as though this happens often, that you've got to spend a little bit of time at home. So you stick around for the plumber to arrive. And the day starts very well. You think to yourself, well, these people, they like to start work early in the morning. Probably be here by 9 o'clock. Maybe I'll even be back at work or doing something useful at 10 o'clock. But it goes steadily downhill from there. By 10 o'clock, the latest time when the plumber was meant to be there, you've done all the housework you can be bothered to do, and there's still no sign of the plumber. It's time for a cup of tea, you think to yourself. Open up the fridge, but there's no milk. And then you're in that dilemma, aren't you? Do I go out and try and get some milk, knowing that the moment I leave the house and I'm out of sight, the plumber's gonna turn up, think I wasn't there, and it'll all have been wasted. So you stick around. Perhaps it's just running a little bit late, you start to think to yourself. And by now you're pointlessly browsing the internet. You've got to that stage of boredom. You haven't quite got the energy to do anything proper. So that's what you end up doing. It's clickbait time. You start to go through all those lovely articles with very exciting headlines. The 77 most gorgeous celebrities from the 90s and how fat they are today. Well, you read it and they're not actually that fat. Feels like it was a bit of a waste of time. But the next article seems much more promising. The 100 dirtiest kitchens, you'll be amazed at number 93. The headline says, of course, you can't just jump to number 93. You've got to go through the 92 first. And by the time you get there, it wasn't really that amazing at all. Another bit of clickbait. Brandscore mum makes millions using this weird old trick. Dermatologists hate her. That sounds very exciting. It turns out she doesn't really live in Brandscore at all. By now it's 11 o'clock and the boredom is intense. You're so bored you don't even want to move off the sofa. And you start to think to yourself, well, the plumber could just be late. Maybe something really dramatic has happened. Maybe there was a serious gas leak at his last appointment. And probably right now he's talking to the TV crews, explaining how he dramatically rescued a family from their home along with all their pets. Or maybe you think to yourself, maybe there was a burst water main somewhere near the local primary school and high pressure water is just bursting into the school. And you imagine your plumber fighting his way through the water with a giant spanner, heroically about to fix the problem. How else could he be so late? How else could he be so late without even a phone call to say why he's late? On goes the daytime TV. Yes, it's come to that. He's still not here. And after 5 back-to-back episodes of Columbo, the telephone rings. It's Denise from the plumbing company. The plumber's a bit late, she says, but he's on his way. You're the next job on his list. He's going to be here very, very soon. Well, it's 2 o'clock by now. He's already 5 hours late. But you speak to Denise on the phone like this is the best news you've ever heard. He's finally coming. It's all going to be worthwhile. He's on his way. And without apology, maybe 4 hours later, there's a little knock at the door. And the plumber comes in, no chit-chat. He obviously just wants to get home. He takes one look at the boiler, tells you it needs a part that he doesn't have in his van, but they do have at the depot, and he says to you, well, look, let me come back tomorrow. Can I come sometime between 8 and 10? I'll be there, he says. Is that convenient? Well, you're not so sure. Have you ever had an experience like that? Are you the kind of person, I wonder, who follows through? When you say you're going to do something, you actually go and do it. It's so frustrating, isn't it, when people don't do that? And that's the big question Jesus has for us today in Matthew chapter 7. Do you follow through? Are you the kind of person who follows through on their good intentions, the promises that you make to God? It's so frustrating when people don't, isn't it? The parcel delivery company delivering to the wrong address, we get that all the time. Loads of our mail goes to the old vicarage, even though we live in just the plain old the vicarage. The train company cancelling a service with an offer of a bus replacement never turns up, does it? The friend who said she'd help, but she always finds a reason to cancel. It's so frustrating, isn't it, when people say they're going to do something and yet they don't do it. And yet, with the best will in the world, all of us do this from time to time. So the question is, are you someone who follows through in doing what's right? As Jesus finishes off the Sermon on the Mount, he asks you that question. Are you someone who follows through? Most of us take pride in our commitment, don't we? We think that if we say something, we're going to do it. But Jesus suggested that might not be the case. You might actually be the spiritual equivalent of the plumber who doesn't turn up, or who turns up so late that it's completely pointless. Could that be you, I wonder? Someone who just doesn't deliver. Someone who looks great, someone who sounds great, says all the right things, but the substance isn't there. Just look a little bit back before our reading to verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7. We had this last week, didn't we? Jesus talks about two ways that every human being in this world can take. There's a narrow way that leads to life. Life in all its fullness, the life which each of us were made. And that way is going to be hard, but it is the way to life. And there's another way, it's much wider and it's much easier, but it's a way that leads to alienation from God, God's righteous condemnation of our rejection of him. And that is a road populated by the well-intentioned people who've said, Lord, Lord, I'm your disciple, and yet they haven't delivered the goods. They failed to live up to their word. They failed to follow through. And here Jesus says, you could be one of those people. The wise person, Jesus says, hears and does my words. The wise person hears and does Jesus' words. That's the big headline we've got today. Because Jesus' words have authority. They can't be ignored. The wise person hears and does Jesus' words. You'll know this story, won't you? Try to banish the Sunday school tune with all of this. Actually, don't bother, because actually it's based on the passage and it's got most of the words in it. The rain coming down, all of that. Try to remember that. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. What happens to it? It stands the trial. Verse 26. Anyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on sand, destined for destruction. You notice the difference between the two people. It's very, very small. It's simply that the foolish person hears but doesn't act, whereas the wise person hears and does act. The wise person hears and does Jesus' words. So I wonder, do you think you're fairly switched on? Do you think you're fairly wise, I wonder? Maybe you're not even sure whether you'd call yourself wise. Well, the simple truth here is that if you listen to Jesus' words and do them, then you are wise. It's as simple as that. If you listen here in church as we open up the scriptures together, or listen as you're reading the Bible at home on your own, which I hope you do, and you hear God saying something very clearly from his word, that you should maybe read the Bible more, or go away and pray, or you should invite someone to come along to Christianity Explored. And if you hear that and go away and do it, you're extremely wise, says Jesus. Do you want to be wise? Would you say that you are wise? Well, if you're the kind of person who listens to God's word and does it, then you're all wise. You're wiser than Professor Brian Cox as he holds forth on cosmology. If you listen and do the words of Jesus, you're wiser than Melvin Bragg as he delves into the life and work of some obscure 19th century
philosopher. Do you listen to that on Radio 4 in our time? So highbrow, isn't it? I always listen to it and think, how on earth does he know all of that? He's probably got a script, hasn't he? But he comes across as amazingly knowledgeable about all sorts of obscure things. But you could be wiser than that if you listen to Jesus' words and do them. You'd be wiser than Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, as he navigates the bank through the choppy waters of Brexit. If you listen to Jesus' words and do them, you'll be wiser than the monk who spent 40 years sitting on a mountaintop contemplating. He's got a prize for the longest beard in the world. You'll be wiser than him if you listen to Jesus' words and do them, if you follow through on what you hear. But of course, you could be a fool. You could easily be a fool. If Bible teaching goes in one ear and out the other, if the readings and the talk in church are just a few minutes of the service to be endured, you can't stand it, you're looking forward to it being over so you can get to the custard creams after the service. If you've got no interest at all in seeing your everyday life shaped by what you hear, you know, you hear that message, maybe read the Bible more or try to pray on a regular basis. Invite that friend to Christianity Explores. Come and serve at one of our things like God's Own, the after-school club. You hear about all of this stuff. Go and visit so-and-so who's not very well at the moment. You hear all of that and you think, well, I'm so glad that doesn't apply to me. And I'm so glad someone else is going to do that. Well, that's listening and not doing. And Jesus says that is incredibly foolish. It's foolish as somebody building a house in a really stupid place, like building it on the beach. We've got a few terribly built houses here. I don't know if you can see that one there. It is a house in the process of being torn apart by a tornado somewhere in Kansas. Tornadoes every year, and yet inexplicably, people build their houses there, and they build them out of wood, so they fall apart easily. They do it for some reason. I suppose it's good farming or something like that. But it's a very, very silly place to build a house, isn't it? Let's have a look at the next one. I love this one. This is a really local one. I don't know if anyone can guess where this is. If you've got really good eyesight, you might be able to see. It's from Black Gang Chine. Lovely little cottage. You can imagine when it was complete. Lovely place to live. But of course, the cliff has fallen away, and so has much of the house. That's in 1994, 1984, it says. Something like that. A very silly place to build a house. I love this. I love this next one as well. That's brilliant. This is in somewhere in New England or something like that. You can imagine when that house was first built. It must have been fantastic. We've just bought this lovely new seaside house. You have a party there. Maybe you have too much to drink and you stroll out onto the veranda and you think, well, this doesn't seem very, very flat, but I'm sure it's just the gin and tonic. You come back the next morning in the cold, harsh light of day and you realise, actually, this wasn't a great place to build a house, and I think it's no longer there. It's completely subsided. Keep that picture in mind, because Jesus said that is a picture of you. If you decide to listen to Jesus' words and don't follow through, it's the ultimate foolishness. Neglecting the word of the Creator, perhaps because you think you know something better. Why is it so foolish? Why is it so silly not to follow through on Jesus' words? Well, because Jesus' words have authority, we finally see here in Matthew. Jesus' words have an authority, which means they can't be ignored. Let's see that next heading on there. Is that possible? Thanks very much. We should go down one more. The clicker's gone missing. Jenny's taking the service at All Saints this week, and she's got the clicker. Anyway, Jesus' words have authority. What happens after the Sermon on the Mount? What happens after the story of the wise and foolish builders? Well, it says this in verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. How is it people respond to Jesus' teaching? Well, they look at each other and they say together, wow, what on earth was that? We weren't expecting that at all. That is completely surprising. Some of them came along, expecting some good religious teaching, a sort of a sermon, and they were amazingly surprised by what they heard. And notice at what they marveled. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were astonished at his teaching. Why? Because he taught them as one having authority. It was the authority of Jesus Christ that made people marvel. They didn't turn to each other and say to each other, how amazing, his style is so polished and brilliant, it's so poetic. I loved that bit where he said, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers. So clever, starting each sentence with the same words. Really clever. I'm going to try and speak like that. That's not what amazed them at all. They didn't look at each other and say, I loved his stories. Particularly that last one about the wise and foolish Buddha. So funny. I'm going to remember that. They didn't look at each other and say, I loved his passion. He was so passionate. You could see the sweat. You could see the tears as he said what he said. They weren't amazed at that. Why were they astonished? They were astonished at his authority. He taught them as one having authority and not like their religious leaders. They could see that there was something in Jesus' words that just couldn't be ignored. And it's not just the crowds who've said this. Over the many centuries, countless people have seen in Jesus' words an authority that can't be ignored. Napoleon Bonaparte said this about the words of Jesus Christ. He said, the gospel is not a book. It's a living being with an action, a power which invades everything that opposes its extension. Now, that was a man who knew lots about power, lots about invasion, invaded lots of places, didn't he? But he knew that the words of Jesus Christ were far mightier, far more powerful than even the great French army. It's not a book, it's a living being with an action, a power which invades everything that opposes its extension. Jesus' words have authority. That's why it's so silly to hear them and not do them. Why does it have such authority? Because of who Jesus Christ is. Decades ago, when Her Majesty the Queen was crowned in her splendid coronation service, she was given an orb. I guess you can see it if you go to the Tower of London, a jewelled sphere with a cross on the top of it. And as she was given it, she was reminded of this great truth by a bishop who said this: receive this orb set under the cross and remember that the whole world is subject to the power and empire of Christ our Redeemer. The Queen, in all her splendor, her glorious golden robes and golden carriage and the trooping of the color and the changing of the guard and all of the things that she does, was told very clearly that everything, her authority, is under the reign and empire of Christ the Redeemer. He can't be ignored. Surely it'd be foolishness to ignore someone like that. Of course, we don't need to take everyone's advice seriously. It depends on who they are, doesn't it? I wonder if some of you are fortunate enough to see this splendid moment during Wimbledon. It was the women's doubles, was on centre court anyway. Lots of people watching, even more people watching on the TV. And a chap called Chris Quinn, there he is on the end. I'm not going to be nasty, but he doesn't exactly look like a female tennis champion. He hasn't quite got the physique, I don't think. Well, Chris decided he would dish out his tennis advice to these amazing ladies playing at Wimbledon. Well, they called his bluff and invited him to come onto the court to implement his advice. Well, good on him, he did it. Of course, the rules at Wimbledon are you've got to wear the right clothes if you're on the court. And there he is putting on his tennis skirt and tennis top. Of course, they didn't need to listen to his advice at all. He doesn't know what he's talking about, does he? And they certainly put him to shame. But Jesus Christ needs to be taken seriously. We can't ignore what he has to say to us because of who he is. The wise person hears and does Jesus' words because Jesus' words have authority. The crowds are amazed because they realize something about Jesus. They came for a teacher, and what do they hear? They heard the wisdom of the Creator. They'd heard about the miracles, the healings, and they'd come for a showman. They'd come to be entertained. But instead, they heard the words of the author of life. Jesus is God, who knew you before you were born, who delighted in you as you were being knit together in your mother's womb, wonderfully made in the image of God. Jesus is God who heard your first cry and your first laugh and has walked with you every step of the way since that day. Jesus is God who knows your deepest needs, your deepest pains, your greatest longings, your biggest anxieties, your hopes and your dreams. Jesus knows them. He understands them. And so surely the ultimate wisdom would be to listen to his words of authority and to do them. And the ultimate foolishness would be to hear them and to say to yourself, that doesn't matter. That's not important. I'm glad someone else will go and do that. The ultimate foolishness would be to hear them but decide they're not worth following through on. Are you someone who follows through? Are you going to follow through as you hear God speak through his words? The wise person hears and does Jesus' words, because Jesus' words have authority. Let me pray. Loving Father, we thank you that Jesus has words of wisdom, words of life, words of truth. Thank you that he knows us in a way that's beyond our greatest imagining. Help us to be wise. Help us to be like that wise man. Help us to listen to Jesus' words. And not only listen, but do as well. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. To affirm our faith with the words of the Creed.